Please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, as we conclude our conference this morning, I just want to wrap up our time this weekend with some summary thoughts that hopefully will be helpful for you. We're veering off from 1 Timothy for a short time, but Lord willing, we will come back to that. But this morning, Philippians chapter 1, I think will help us understand the why behind what we do in this area pertaining to missions. And I realize at Calvary, there's kind of an interesting dynamic that we have here today in 2019. The church was planted a few decades ago, and so there are a number of people who started the ministry here in Simpsonville. And then through the years, through many of them going on to see Jesus even, they have transitioned to different places. We have a number of the folks who originally started that are still here, and we're so thankful. And many of you can remember the times when this church connected with the gospel partners that were represented here this morning. But then through the years, there's been a number of things that have happened, some things that have been really great and some things that have been rough. And so there have been folks that have transitioned because of those types of things. And then in the last couple years, God brought our family here. And then thankfully, through this kind of revitalization process, God has brought a couple hundred new people to our church. And so here we are today in 2019, a mixed group of people that I want to make sure that we all understand, whether you're in that group that were here from the very beginning and have really weathered the seasons of life here at Calvary, or if you're new to our church and even new to the faith, I want to start by answering the question, why a missions conference? Okay, we're going to just start real simple this morning because I want to make sure everyone understands. And you may not have known what was taking place this weekend. And so as we look forward to the future, I want to make sure we understand why we do what we do. And so hopefully if you understand why according to the scripture, then you'll engage and be a part more and more, and we can grow in this area of gospel partnership. So why a missions conference? Well, first of all, it is important for us to continually connect with those folks who this church, through the ages, whether it was in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, wherever that the connection happened, it's important that we stay engaged with our gospel partners. This church made a commitment to folks, and we want to be faithful to that commitment. As well, it's important for us to continually look at the scriptures and let the scriptures define and instruct our minds on how we should go about ministry. And so this weekend, we were shepherded very, very well by Mark Vowles, who helped us understand what the gospel ministry looks like from the life of Paul. And he really helped us move forward in the future on how we should identify gospel partners and even help our gospel partners that we currently are committed to. And so taking a concentrated time, and that's what a conference is, whether you go attend conferences with your workplace, they don't always look the same, but what they are, they're specific seasons of time or specific time to kind of cut away to understand the needs that need to be addressed. And for us as a church, we want to look at the scriptures. The scriptures must always dictate the why behind what we do. And so this has been very helpful for me to understand some of our gospel partners that have been visiting. I hope it has been for you, but maybe you haven't been able to join us over the weekend. And so as we look to the next year and the years beyond, I hope that you will see how important this is for our church. And really, we want to grow in this area of gospel partnership, which leads me to my second question that I'd like to answer. Why are we calling our missionaries gospel partners? Well, I was trained years ago. It's not original with me, and we're going to look at it here in Philippians 1. But when we commit to people for the sake of the gospel, it's more than just a simple, hey, we're going to send you a check for the next 30 plus years while you're on the mission field, and we'll pray for you, and kind of that be the end of it. When we look at the scripture, and Paul sets out here in Philippians chapter 1, a great example, and that's what it is. It's an example of how gospel partnership really can operate in a very healthy way. And so we want to look at the scripture to encourage our hearts so that we can keep growing. But gospel partnership carries the idea that we have all been entrusted with the good news of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us, and as a church family, Calvary has been entrusted with the gospel. And with that stewardship, we have the responsibility then to share with our neighborhood. We want to be a neighborhood church, which is why Pastor Guy has been leading us over the last year. The goal is to touch every single home with the gospel in a one-mile radius, and that's happening every single week. There's a committed group of people who go door to door, and they present information, and they give gospel tracts, and so we are almost through. We have a good amount of work still to do by May or June, but we're hoping to accomplish that goal. And it's not about the goal, but the point is we must be good stewards of the gospel and we must share the gospel. So we want to be a neighborhood church that's sharing the gospel with our neighbors. But not only that, we want to then connect with ministries here in the Greenville area that are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and other local churches. And then as well as the gospel goes out in other areas of South Carolina, nationally, as you saw on the screen here a little while ago, and then across the world. This is a stewardship that we have been given. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, and we cannot take it lightly. But what happens is, in a church like ours, because some of the commitments were made a long time ago, and so it's sometimes easy for people in 2019 as a church, it's easy for us to say, well, I don't have any connection with these people, and so it's hard for me to even engage in their life and remember to pray for them. Now, I realize there's groups who regularly pray for missionaries. We try to do that in our corporate gatherings on a regular basis, a monthly basis. And people connect individually with them. And I realize, you know, there's ways that we've been able to do that. Wade Ramsey serves our church so well in presenting a monthly summary of what's going on in every single ministry. You can get on the email list and understand. And I love reading through that so I can understand, even though I don't know everyone, I can kind of find out what's going on in the ministries across the world. But it's easy for us to become complacent with this stewardship. And so I want to call us to really growth this morning and paint a vision from the scripture of what this can look like as we move forward in the future. And it really can be a gospel partnership. Even if you say, I was not here that one Wednesday night when that family came through and gave their presentation, and then maybe you weren't even here 6 months later when the vote took place in a business meeting, you say, this wasn't my decision. I didn't connect with these people. And sometimes that's really how people can view it. But really, when you came in to be part of the Calvary family, and I hope you've made that commitment that you're all in, you want to live life on mission, and you're with us. When you made that commitment, we told you in the new members class, we have all these gospel partners, and we want you to be part of their lives. And so I'm calling on all of us as a church to really believe what the scriptures say and stay active, and in some cases even be more active in the lives of our gospel partners. Philippians chapter 1 helps us. Would you look in verse 3? Paul here is writing and he says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to start here, and I want to just give a little bit of background as far as Philippians is concerned. This is a great illustration of the gospel and what it can do in a community. Because you have Lydia, you have an Asian lady, and then you have a slave girl, and then you have a jailer, and all these folks came to know Christ. Paul instructed them in the gospel, and others came to know Christ. And so you have this church, which looks like many other churches, and looks like, quite frankly, Calvary in 2019. You have a group of people who come from different ethnic perspectives. You have a group of people who come from different economic perspectives. You have a different group of people from a different educational perspective. And God has brought us all together for this season of time. Why? So we can enjoy the gospel together and be a good steward of it. So just like this church, as God develops the churches in this time period and even today, it's a diverse group of people that come together around truth. And the church becomes the pillar and support of it. And what should flow through the church is gospel love in spite of all the diversity. In spite of all the differences and opinions and thoughts and ways, we cling to the gospel. And the gospel helps us understand how to view each other and care for one another. And that transfers even when people come together for a season of time for ministry, and then it moves from there. And that's what happened. Paul was with these folks. He set up the church and instructed folks on how it should go, and then he moved on in his ministry. But there is this connection to them, and the way he describes it, I think, is a great illustration that can help us move forward and grow in this area. He has a fond affection for them. He says, "I thank God every time I remember." And so there's this mutual memory that happens between these two parties where there's memories of gospel love and there's a care for one another. And so there's an immediate praise to God. I thank God for this wonderful relationship that we have. He has established it. He has brought it together. And it transcends backgrounds. It transcends ethnic perspective. It transcends social economic perspective. It transcends it all. And he says, this is a wonderful memory. And when I think of these folks, and it's a reciprocal memory, when you think of me and you have demonstrated that, he tells us later in the book where they have sent him a gift in a time of need, and it was very, very helpful. And so all of these things bring him to the point where he just praises God for the relationship and the connection. But listen how he describes it in the next verse. Always offering prayer with joy, and that's where we see how wonderful this relationship, because it's a joyous thing with prayer. This goes through in my every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is where we get the term gospel partner. It's from this word. Now, some versions will describe it and use the word participation. Some will say fellowship. And I want to just make sure that we understand what we're talking about here, because this, I think, will help us move forward. The idea of fellowship in our day and age, and especially in Christian circles, has really somewhat been watered down. So let me explain it this way. You can have a meal with folks who don't know Jesus, And that is really, that describes friendship. But then you have a meal with those people who do know Jesus, and it becomes fellowship. And you would describe it that way. And I have no problem with that, because the gospel brings us into fellowship with one another. But when we think of the scripture and the word, the term at the time that this was written, it was a little bit deeper. And I think when we understand the term, it'll help us instruct us. Really, the idea of fellowship had the idea of a commercial overtone, where it was two parties connecting for the purpose of something to accomplish an endeavor. And so a fellowship, and we even have those today, you don't hear of them very often, but in grad schools with PhD programs and things like that, where people go into a fellowship, what is that? It's an agreement where two parties come together, and normally one is in the learning process, but they come together to accomplish a purpose, and they then become a fellow, or they complete the fellowship, right? There's a partnership involved. And that's really the roots of this term. When Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, and you do the same for me, and we have this wonderful relationship," it's because they have connected for a purpose. And the purpose is exactly what he outlines. He says, in the gospel. That's the realm of their partnership. They have come together, Paul at this time when he saw the church established, but now he's away from them, and he says they're still apart. Even though Paul is away, he's accomplishing ministry in other areas of the world. He's actually in prison at this point. They're still sending gifts, but Paul says, you are participating from the first day we started up until now. So this partnership, this connectedness is around the gospel, and it continues. And so I realize that many of you here today, you looked at the screen as I did, and you have a hard time remembering names and where they're located, and let alone what their children. I was thinking, you know, children that grow up in other cultures are sometimes called third culture kids, where they have roots in America, but they live somewhere else, and so they adapt the customs and mindsets, but they're not fully there, and they're not fully here, and so they're kind of in this section that they're labeled in some sense, and I think it's appropriate, it's not negative at all, third culture kids, where they just don't understand, quite frankly, where they fit, and that's a special group of people. And young people who find yourself in that role, sometimes you may be tempted to question what God had for your life and the why behind it and all those things, but know that God is sovereign and he is good in every way, and all of these things are for a purpose in your life. You are a special group of people. But all the families that we saw represented on the screen, they're real people with real lives, and at one point Calvary Baptist said, yes, we will connect. And you may individually be here this morning and say, well, I don't know them. It doesn't affect my life. It does, because you're part of the gospel partnership. And so I'm begging us as a church to believe the scriptures and move forward with a desire and an intentionality where we want to connect. Now, I realize there are so many, and so it's very difficult to understand all of them. And so maybe as we talk with the missions committee, we can get more creative as how we can kind of break down the numbers and do this more effectively. Sometimes people, as we did in Florida when we started our church, we decided, you know what, we're going to have a fewer number of gospel partners, but we're going to connect them on a greater level. And that wasn't just financially. It was like, we are going to be partners. We are going to understand what's going on. Now, we don't want to drop anyone just for the purpose of dropping anyone. That's not my point in mentioning that. But maybe we can come up with creative ways where we can be more intentional with the folks that we have said, you know what, we are going to go forward in a gospel relationship. And so Paul here gives us this wonderful illustration in verse 7. At the end there, he says, you are all partakers of grace with me. So even though Paul is in a different place, and God's using him to accomplish his purposes in that place, and he's still connected with the folks here in Philippi, he still views them as partakers of grace with him. So this connection continues. And so we have here the question of why we call them gospel partners. Yes, they're missionaries. Absolutely, they are. They have been directed by God to go to another place to share the good news of Jesus Christ and see churches established. But they are special to Calvary because we have connected with them for the gospel. And so it's my prayer as the years go on, and I was thankful even Friday night as I talked to one of them, one of our gospel partners, he said, Calvary has always been very kind to us. And this is the passage I was thinking about, because I would love it if when these folks thought of Calvary, they thought of the rich relationship and joy that comes in gospel ministry. And so that they could say, you know what? When I think of Calvary, when God, praise God for what he has done through the years. And as God directs us, Lord willing, to future gospel partners, that's how we need to view it. And so does Ron and Mark and Tim and Bill. when it's Tuesday afternoon in their specific areas of ministry across the world, if God were to bring Calvary Baptist to their mind, what do they think of? How do they view us? Is there a fond affection with joy? It can be. It can be. If we as a church will remember our commitment, being very careful, strategic, intentional. Again, we do that in every area of ministry. I get it. But understanding this is a wonderful relationship in the gospel. Now, I think we have areas, I think this is an area where we can grow. As I've been here the last couple years and been kind of evaluating things as we go, we can grow in this area. Again, there's been faithful people who have stayed the course and really connected and been a huge blessing. But what if we all understood this stewardship and responsibility, and we use this illustration as in Philippians 1 as a way for us to move forward in our approach? What if? What a blessing we could be to these folks who God has brought into our lives. Now, I just want to just kind of end with just a simple organizational part of where we've come. The pastoral team, we've worked for the last couple years and just kind of honing in as we move forward. And we thought maybe this description of our missions program would be helpful for you. So I wanted to just mention it. We look at our partnership in three categories. One would be local. And so there are ministries local here in the Greenville area that we have connected with for the sake of the gospel. And so we're thankful for them. I was just talking with a church member yesterday who was connecting to one of our local gospel partners, and the resource that our local gospel partner was offering was a help to our church member. And so this morning when I got in the car and I heard on the radio an advertisement for our gospel partner in town, you know what happened? Joy came to my heart. It's like, oh, what a blessing they are. And I hope that we are the same for them. And so we have local gospel partnership. We have national gospel partnership. That's the second, where within the United States, we have folks that we have connected with that are doing a variety of different ministries in regards to the gospel. And so we consider them gospel partners. And then globally, we have those who have gone to another culture, to a different ethnic group, and they have taken the gospel to plant churches and see them established and people growing in their faith. And so we want to kind of think on those three levels: local, national, and global. And then there's hopefully another helpful way that we can kind of help you understand how we connect with our gospel partners. And I would say we kind of like to keep things in priority. So three priorities that hopefully would make sense to you. One would be we want to connect with people who are doing pioneer ministry, where they are taking the gospel to places that the gospel is not there. And so we put them in a category of pioneer missions. So they're purposely connecting with a group of people in another place to be able to see a gospel church planted and established. And so we want to make sure that in priority, we are focusing on areas like that. Now, because of the history here at Calvary, many of our gospel partners we have had for over 10 years. I think Jerry mentioned that many of them have been gospel partners for over 20 years. And I believe, if I'm accurate, it's been about 10 years since we've added someone, except for those who were sent from Calvary. I don't think we've added any gospel partners for about 10 years. And so as we look forward, we need to think, prioritize. Most of the folks who have gone in the early days, they went to places, pioneer fields, and they established churches. But now they would be in a second category, which we call growth missions. where there are churches established, and now it's kind of moved into the training kind of perspective and helping the nationals then grow in their faith to be able to take leadership and then turning the ministries over to them. And so priority-wise, we need to just make sure that we're balanced. We're still investing in places that don't have the gospel. As Jerry mentioned, the numerous countries that are still available for unreached people. And so we want to make sure we're investing in them, but we continue to invest then as well in our growth missionary partners, those who have been on the field and they're really trying to help the next generation of believers and then eventually, Lord willing, turn the ministries over to so they truly become indigenous. And then the third category would be more project-type gospel partners, where would their people come into our lives and we want to be a blessing to them and we want to see them encouraged as they go to the place where God has called them, or perhaps it's a specific endeavor. And so we want to connect with them as Calvary under these perspectives. And so we're thankful even for the Golsons that they've been able to be here this weekend. And they're not our gospel partners in a sense that we have not taken them on, but they've been friends and he's been through our ministry and people have connected with them. Even folks from in our own church have a relationship with them. And so we want to be an encouragement to them. And so there are these seasons of time where Phil, you're not a project, all right? But there are situations that we kind of say, you know what, we're going to get involved, we're going to invest here for a season of time. And so these are the three areas that I want to make sure that we stay and we keep our priority, we keep balance. So pioneer, growth, and then project. And those can take place whether locally, nationally, or globally. So as you think about missions at Calvary, I hope that you'll be thinking in terms of gospel partnership, and the scriptures will anchor your heart in understanding this is really, really important. And Paul sets forth with this church in Philippi an example of what good looks like. And so we want to follow the example and we want to grow in this area. Of course, we understand that doctrine is a very important thing, and we want to match up in our doctrine with our gospel partners. We want to make sure it's a local church focus where the local churches are being established or strengthened or revitalized. We want to make sure that there's accountability in the partnership where we can speak into each other's lives and there's a freedom within the gospel love that allows us to do that. But we come together, we pray, and we support. And so we're thankful that God is continuing to help us. There's a group that will be taking a trip, Lord willing, later this year to go see one of our gospel partners that we've never been to, and we just want to be encouragement to them. We want to do more and more of that so that we can connect with people on an individual basis and get to know them more and more. But as we close, I would just like you to ask yourself, do I see myself involved in gospel partnership? Do I really see myself involved in gospel partnership? So you're here at Calvary Baptist Church, you're part of our family, but do you take an active role in this partnership that we have been given by God? And it's a joyful thing. And so if you're not actively involved, and I'm not talking about just writing in a little line on your offering envelope, I'm thankful that these people, they need our gifts. But I'm talking about more than just writing a few extra dollars to go to the missions program every Sunday. That is a wonderful thing, and it's an investment. But I think we can do more. Like, I think we can take it to another level of involvement. And so as a pastoral team, it's our desire that we grow in every area of ministry at Calvary. But this specifically is one that we need to think about. And so this missions conference has been very helpful for us to be able to take concentrated time to focus on what God has called us to do. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and answer that question personally. Am I involved in gospel partnership? What am I doing with this stewardship? If you can't answer that clearly, maybe perhaps you could talk to the Lord in these moments and just with an honest, humble heart say, God, I'm really not involved and I probably should be. So God, give me direction on how to do that. God, you have a glorious program. It started at creation. It was in your mind far before that. And it will end one day when we see you face to face and we get to spend eternity with you saying and singing how worthy you are. And in this glorious program, God, in 2019, you have allowed Calvary Baptist Church to be part of it. And you've allowed us to connect with all these other families and individuals who have gone to places who you are using for your glory in those places to accomplish your purposes. And so it's amazing to think in your sovereignty how all of this works together in the grand scheme of things, but all we know is that you are glorious and you've given us a glorious message that we have experienced personally and we have the responsibility to go and share. So Lord, I pray that you will help us as your people to be faithful. Lord, I pray that we would do more to honor you and take advantage of this wonderful partnership that we have with these folks. God, use us in the days ahead to accomplish much for your glorious kingdom. Thank you for our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and who you have brought this weekend to share with us what's going on in their lives. Thank you for their families. Thank you for their wonderful children. You have a wonderful plan for, and I pray that you would use us in the days ahead to accomplish these wonderful purposes that you have planned, and we'll give you glory and praise in your heavenly precious name we pray. Amen.